Family, welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning back into today's show. Getting ready to chop up some good game like we always do. Today should be a quick show. I always say that, but I know it's going to be a quick show because I got a lot of stuff to do today. I got to go over to London. I'm leaving today for London. So it's going to be a quick show. I just wanted to chop it up with the family before I bounced. And we're going to take some calls. The phone number is 818-850-5404. So we're going to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to come back with some calls from the listeners. So don't go nowhere right here on Tariq Elite Radio. Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Are you real ashy and you don't know what to do about it? Does your knees and elbows look like you've been blocking bricks from being thrown at you? Well, if so, there's a solution. Check out SheaNaturalSkin.com. Now, this website has all types of shea butter, body scrubs, and bath crystals you need to stay smooth and non-crispy. They have different aromas like jasmine, lavender, carnation, and many more. So you need to go get moisturized at SheaNaturalSkin.com. Again, that's SheaNaturalSkin.com. Hey, this is Tariq Nasheed, New York Times bestselling author and producer of the critically acclaimed bestselling documentary series, Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. I want you to join me in London on Sunday, March 15th for a live lecture at Friend's House in Houston. I'm going to be discussing the international rules of racism, so trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get tickets right now at back2blackempire.com. That's back, the number 2, blackempire.com. Are you a startup business, a musician, a small business, an artist, or just an individual who has no idea on how to market your work and get it out there, but you would like to? Check out threeheadeddragonmarketing.com. At threeheadeddragonmarketing.com, they give you a video training course on how to get your product out there. You can work at home. You can be your own boss. You can gain control of your life. If you don't know how to get your product out there and market it online, Three-Headed Dragon Marketing is for you. Go to threeheadeddragonmarketing.com. The book, Marginalizing White Supremacy, is available now. You know, it appears that since the first election of Barack Obama, the old days and the old ways of white supremacy has reemerged and is wreaking havoc to black lives every day and in every way. So it's very important that we understand the ins and outs of white supremacy. So pick up the brand new book, Marginalizing White Supremacy, a philosophical call to action post the Obama presidency. And you can get this book at Amazon.com, you can get it at Kindle, and you can get it at Lulu.com. You can also get it at BarnesandNoble.com. Again, that book is Marginalizing White Supremacy.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on, family? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Show. And it's me, your gracious host, Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Like I said earlier, I'm going to be going to London today. My flight for London is today, so I'm getting ready for that. So today's show is not going to be too long. First, I just want to thank everybody for contributing to Hidden Colors 4 on Kickstarter. We are over the $100,000 mark. We had like $100,000, $105,000 right now. So everybody, we have about 7 more days for people to get involved with the making of Hidden Colors 4. So you guys can go to Kickstarter.com right now and become involved. We still need people to get involved and let's make history. We need you to keep on. If you contributed already, contribute again so that we can really get those numbers up and let everybody know that black is back. So let's get those numbers up. So go to hiddencolorsfilm.com and go to the Kickstarter link that's on there, or you can go directly to kickstarter.com and type in Hidden Colors 4. A lot of stuff I want to talk about as far as things that's going on in the news and in the media. And by the way, shout out to all my London, UK people. A lot of folks are coming to the lecture I'm doing this Sunday in London. Now, when I get there tomorrow, I got a lot of television stuff because I'm leaving today, but I will arrive in London tomorrow. And I have a lot of television interviews out there. I got to do one right from the airport, so I don't even get a chance to get to my hotel room. So I got a lot of stuff I'm doing out there. So we're going to hit the ground running out there in London. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. The phone number is 818-850-5404. Ladies and gentlemen, let's see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, Tariq, man? This is Jordan from Charlotte, man. How you?
I'm good, Jordan from Charlotte. What's on your mind?
Not much, man. My girl, she asked me what submissive means to a so-called player, man. I just want to give her a real good, thorough answer, you know. What should I tell her?
Submissive just means cooperation. That's all that means, man. You're just being cooperative. As a woman, she's being cooperative to you. See, the thing is, a lot of people will take the word submissive and then flip it into some old negative nonsense that's going on in their subconscious mind. They take
the word submissive. And I think that's the thing, man. I told her she, like women these days, they have a problem with it being in their vows. You know what I'm saying? That right. a woman is supposed to submit to a man. And she had a problem with that. And I was like, it's not like that. You know, it's the 21st century. You know what I'm saying? It's not like the 70s. When do this. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
And that word really has people have a problem with that word in the black community, really. Because in the dominant society, and even in other cultures, in Asian culture, the women have no problem being submissive to the male. They even say that they're submissive. And in Latino culture, the women have no problem saying that they're submissive. You ask a Latino female, like, I'm submissive to my dude. So in our culture, it's a problem because of, we got to look at the main culprit, which is systematic white supremacy. And in our culture, we're being attacked constantly. So the males are not allowed through societal policies to function as the main breadwinner, to function as the main head of household, because your life can be taken if you're classified as black in a white supremacist culture. So you're constantly in danger, and other people can constantly dictate how you get down. And that's because we don't have any kind of economic power. This is why I always preach economic empowerment, because we can change that by empowering ourselves economically. But where we stand now, we have to depend on the dominant society for sustenance and survival. And our women see that. So a lot of women don't want to submit to a dude who has to submit to somebody else.
Mention, you got shows like Scandal and stuff, man, and they see that, and they, you know, they thinking like, oh, I gotta submit to a white man or something like that, you know?
Exactly. That's a great example. Like the Olivia Pope character, she's this, you know, go-getting, she's very thorough in everything she does. She's out here just really handling problems and handling business, and she's fly, she looks good, and she has money and has a great career. But the minute she gets in a room with a white man, she's submissive and she's like dainty and girly and, you know, don't know what to do with herself. So
right.
We have to always look at the main culprit, which is systematic white supremacy. And in order to combat that, we need economic empowerment. And when you get economic empowerment, you won't have that conversation about submission, because women will naturally cooperate. And understand, submission just means cooperate. That doesn't mean bow down. That doesn't mean to be under somebody, be subjugated to somebody. It just means cooperate. You feel me?
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate
much respect,
it, man.
Yes, indeed. Let's see who else we got on the phone, family. What's going on? Who's calling?
Hi. Not true.
Hello?
I have one. Hello?
Yes. What's your name?
Lisa.
Lisa, where are you calling from?
New York.
Look, how old are you, Lisa? You sound very young.
20.
20, okay. Now, Lisa, what nationality or race are you?
Black and white.
You're black and white. Okay. All right. So what's on your mind?
Yesterday or on your last news stream, you said that when you bump into a white supremacist, you should just let it roll off you. But I've had personal experiences with people who bullied me, and the only way I can get anything redemption out of it is if I yell back at them.
Now, they bullied you where? Like in school or in your job? How?
School.
And at school?
Be in front of the teachers, and they would see it, and they wouldn't do anything to stop it.
So, at school, some white supremacists, they've done things to you or said things to you, and what exactly happened?
No, they weren't all white supremacists. They were just, like, kids who were bothering me, and, like, it would be right in front of the teacher. Like, they would see and hear everything, and they wouldn't do anything that stopped the situation. So I'm just wondering if it would be exactly like that with a white supremacist.
So you saying they weren't white supremacists? So what were they saying?
No, they would just bother me.
Ma'am, you got to be very clear what you're asking me. I'm just trying to get an idea of what the situation is. You got to be very, very clear. This is why I ask a lot of questions. So how were they bothering you?
Okay, this one guy would like make fun of my appearance.
Like, what would he say?
Make fun of the size of my lips or my weight, and another girl would just say, like, she would, like, when I said, like, not to touch me, like, she would touch me, and I said, don't touch me.
Right.
She would be like, don't get an attitude with me. She would, like, get in my face, and another person, like, try to push me into a locker, and yeah, the teachers just wouldn't do anything about it.
Okay, so you think that these are white students that are doing this to you?
Two were black and one was white. One white guy, like, threw stuff at me, and the school didn't do anything about it.
Okay, well, sounds like that school has a problem with kids just being bullies. There's a lot of bullying that goes on at that school. And that should definitely be investigated. You should have your parents investigate that, and you should document it, because that's just bullying, and they have a bunch of anti-bullying campaigns and policies that they're trying to put in place now. And if people are pushing you in lockers and it's affecting the way you learn, that's something that you and your family should bring to the Board of Education. The teacher should be written up if they're not regulating that. You feel me?
Yeah, I wish I knew that back then. This was a few years ago, but my mom would call the school, and, like, it was a private school, so we didn't have a lot of money, so maybe that had something to do with it.
Right, but still, just because it's a private school, that doesn't give them the right to just allow any type of bullying and abuse of students, you understand? So their bullying policies that you and your family could have utilize, but you're out of school now, so you're talking about a situation that happened back in the day. What's going on with you now?
No, I'm not in school now, but I'm trying to get a job now.
And, okay.
Do you have any tips on how I can impress someone during an interview since I'm not white?
How can you impress somebody and do an interview? Now, your mom is white, right?
No, my mom's black. My dad's, like, white and Hispanic or something.
He's white and Hispanic or something? You don't know what your dad is?
I don't know exactly what he's mixed. He's white and Spanish. I don't know what other stuff he's mixed with.
Spanish, like what? From Spain or Puerto Rico? What do you mean Spanish?
Spain.
So. Okay.
He
could
pass for white.
He could pass for white?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, was your dad in your life?
Up until I was maybe 5.
Maybe 5.
Yeah, he didn't like my mom. Like, my mom wouldn't get along with him and just left.
He didn't like your mom, so your mom didn't get the... So he didn't like your mom, so he just left. So basically, I don't want to say that your mom was a bedwench. Does your mom normally date white guys?
Yeah, she is.
Your mom is a bedwench?
Yeah, she... puts white people inside of school. She whenever I told her that someone white probably did something bad to her or to me, she would be like, oh no, they're not really white, they're like Jewish or something. So she, I used to be just like her.
Oh, so she would make excuses for the white supremacists doing little stuff.
Yeah, she would be like, oh, they're not really white, they're like Jewish or Spanish or something, whatever.
Wow. So, do you have any other siblings?
No.
So, does your mom normally date white guys?
She used to. She hasn't for years now, but I'm trying to, like, wake her up because I've woken up for the past couple of years, and, I even told her that one company that we usually shop at sponsors Fox News, and I told her that not shop there anymore. And she said, oh, it's okay if they're racist. They're only doing it for money.
So she said it's okay if they're racist.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Poor kid. I hate to see that. I hate to see that. Because I know the mentality of the Negro bedwinches out here. I know their mentality. And they will make every excuse on the planet for white supremacy just to go along to get along. So is your mom dating anybody now?
Oh, no. She's very single.
So, has she dated any black people lately?
No, I don't think she ever has.
Okay, so she only dates white people.
Like white or like close to white.
Okay. Oh, man. I really, really... I talk to people like you, the offspring of that, all the time. Children who were raised by Negro bedwinches, and they sound just like you, just defeated. They sound defeated. I can hear it in your voice, just utterly defeated. You have to deal with systematic white supremacy, especially as a kid. Kids don't know how to filter that stuff. When you're not a kid now, but when you were a kid in school, I understand what you were going through, and you needed somebody to say, hey, this is what's happening and this is why these people are doing it. Don't you internalize that. But instead, sounds like your mom just made a whole bunch of excuses for these people.
Yeah, and I had one white woman when I was younger, hit me. She hurt me back when I was, 9. And she was saying, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, don't judge all white people like that. She's not really white.
Oh, wow.
White people, an actual white person of her would never do something that was.
Oh, wow.
And I used to be exactly like her. Like, we would make jokes about how, that black person being treated that way because they're black. I'm glad I'm not like that anymore.
Right, because now you see it's happening to you.
Yeah, I moved into a white neighborhood a couple years ago. Mm. That's when I got a wake-up call, and that's how I found you.
What happened in the white neighborhood?
Whenever I would say I'm living in the area for a while, just moved there. One person, drove their car past me and, yelled the N-word.
Yeah, it wasn't so funny when it was hurled at you, was it? That N-word wasn't so funny when it was directed at you.
No.
Exactly. That because your mom probably grew up telling you that you were biracial and all this old stuff, that you weren't really black, right?
Yeah, she would say, oh, your hair, you have good hair, you have nice baby hair. She would you're not as dark as her. Over just jealous because you go to a private school and they are one of the ghetto schools.
Wow. Now, was your mom light skin, dark skin? What was your mom?
She's darker than me. She's dark skin.
Wow. Like, who? Dark, like, how? How would you can? What celebrity could you compare her to?
A little darker than Queen Latifah.
Oh, okay. Well, Queen Latifah ain't that dark, but okay, I get it. Okay.
No, she's darker than that.
Okay.
But she's not, black.
Okay. And I did a show about this, I did a show a few weeks ago. You probably heard about how biracial children are programmed to identify more with the dominant white society. And I did a whole show about that. I hope you go back and listen to that. And again, I hate that you're in a situation where you have a Negro bedwinch as a mom. That's very unfortunate. But you have to understand that we are living in a system of white supremacy, and you as a non-white person, because that biracial stuff don't cut it. You are a non-white person, and you are subject to the system of white supremacy. So you need to partner with other people who are about empowerment so you can protect yourself from that. You feel me?
Yeah, and kind of frustrating because whenever I see, like, black people comment on biracial people, they're like, oh, they're not really black. And
Yeah, because a lot of times, historically, a lot of biracial people who identify with the dominant white society, they became the buffer class between the white society and black society. And a lot of times, especially during antebellum slavery, the biracial people were the biggest snitches. They were the ones who would always inform on the slave rebellion. So the biracial offspring were always used to assist with subjugating the black community, and ultimately the biracial people would be thrown in the same boat after they assisted with subjugating the black community. So there's this whole fine line with dealing with people who are biracial. Again, now if you're a biracial person and you identify with the situation you're in, which means that you are a black person in the system of white supremacy, we can roll. But if you're a biracial person who identifies more with white supremacy, not white people, but white supremacy, because there's nothing wrong with, you know, identifying with white so-called culture. But if you want to think and act like a white supremacist, just like you and your mom would laugh at other black people, that's a problem. And that's the main reason why black people are stuck in the situation we're in now. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. And all right, my mom's very unsuccessful, yet still think she's better than black people. I don't get it.
Oh yeah, your mom is broken just because she lays up with white men, she thinks she's better. Oh yeah, that's typical Negro bedwinch behavior. I'm not shocked. I'm gonna have you call into my Ustream show on Sunday. All right, I got to get some of these other calls, but thank you for the call, sister.
Bye.
Wow, so you heard it. That was very interesting. The child of a Negro bedwinch. By her own admission, by the way, I'm not saying this to be disparaging. She admitted that her mom was a Negro bedwinch. That's very interesting. See, a lot of biracial people, they're getting their Negro wake-up calls. Over in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin, there was a young man who got shot. A black man got shot. Now, this young man happens to be biracial. He's mixed. And a lot of his family members, they don't, from what I hear, because I'm hearing a lot of different reports, from what I understand, because I think he was raised in a white family, and I know his siblings are, and some of his family members are white. I'm not sure if, I don't know if it's his mother, I'm not sure, but somebody, he's a biracial dude, the young man who was shot, Tony something, I forgot his last name, my mind is going a million miles a minute right now. But a lot of people were protesting in Madison, Wisconsin about this black man getting shot. You know, protesting not just in Wisconsin, but really all over the country. They were protesting his death. He was shot by a white cop. And from what I understand, his family came out saying, well, they don't want it to be a racial thing because he's not really black. He's biracial. Man, if y'all don't cut that biracial shit out, as you see, that biracial shit didn't stop that young man from getting shot to death. See, we're going to have to start getting realistic about what's going on, and we're going to have to understand we're dealing with the system of white supremacy. And if you are a non-white person, if you're classified as non-white, you are subjugated to the system of white supremacy. Because there is no biracial empowerment. There's no group of biracial people who are empowering each other. Now, there are Hispanic groups and there are Asian groups who empower each other. But people try to hang on to this whole biracial thing as if that's some type of tangible group that has the ability and access to empower itself. And that's just not the case. And we cannot keep playing these little games with systematic white supremacy. That whole biracial thing did not save that young man's life. And we got to get realistic about what's going on out here. A lot of people are talking about the SAE fraternity and their racist chants. These white supremacists are not playing. Out there in Oklahoma, I think the University of Oklahoma, this old fraternity, this fraternity that's been around since the mid-1800s, SAE fraternity, they were doing this chant that was caught on video talking about there would never be a nigga in SAE, hang a nigga from a tree, all this old shit. And what's funny, there's a lot of backlash from that, and some of these news organizations are trying to blame rap music for it now. They're using that age-old, well, the rappers made them do it, because rappers use nigga. It's just really silly nonsense, and people made a hashtag on Twitter, I think it was called Rap Albums That Started Slavery, something. It was real funny, and it just showed the silliness of that narrative that rappers made these people do it. Rappers didn't make these people sing about hanging black folks in trees. Rappers don't make songs about putting black people in trees. And the SAE fraternity has been around way before a goddamn rap album was made. They've been around since the 1800s, and they were started in the South by the offspring of slave owners. So let's be very clear. And you know what else I saw? I saw there was a black cook, because they suspended Oklahoma University. They suspended the fraternity from the school or whatever. I think they're trying to dismantle them or whatever. And they had a cook. It was a black guy who was a cook. And this nigga is like a real life Uncle Ruckus. They put him on TV. He's like, oh, Lord, I wish I hadn't got fired. Oh, those are my friends. Those are good people. There's good people. You know, he was doing, they love bringing the coon out. And the dude doesn't have a job no more. And he's doing an interview. What was interesting, if you look at the interview, the nigga had on a hairnet like he was still about to go to work. I'm like, why is this nigga got fired? So why is he still wearing his work uniform? That ain't nothing but a damn slave. A motherfucker who ain't even working. You still wearing a hairnet and your cooking uniform doing an interview with a fucking hairnet on. A lot of people overlook that. Like, this nigga don't work there no more. The fuck you wearing a hairnet to an interview for? He's so used to working for these people, he's still rocking his uniform. But anyway, family, we got to understand the game. We got to wake up to the game and stop playing games when it comes to dealing with systematic white supremacy, y'all. Hey, man, that's been it. I got to get up out of here and do my thing, man. Don't forget to join me if you are in the UK. Join me in London. I will be in London doing my lecture on March 15th. That is this Sunday. Come check me out if you're out there, ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. And get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. And also contribute. You got less than a week left. I think you have a week exactly. To contribute to Hidden Colors 4 on Kickstarter, ladies and gentlemen. So do that. And also check out TariqElite.com. It's getting a little chilly out there. So you need to get those Tariq Elite boots. Get those Tariq Elite shirts. Get all that good stuff. Follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite. And I will holla, ladies and gentlemen.